Hi, it's Adam Dalva, and I'll be reading pages 430 to 432 of Middlesex by Eugenides. I had never seen such a big dictionary before. The Webster's at the New York Public Library stood in the same relation to other dictionaries of my acquaintance as the Empire State Building did to other buildings. It was an ancient medieval-looking thing, bound in brown leather that brought to mind a falconer's gauntlet. The pages were gilded like the Bibles. Flipping pages through the alphabet, past Cantabile to Ergo, past Fandango to Formicate, that's with an M, past Hypertonia to Hyposensitivity, and there it was. Hypospadias, New Latin from Greek, man with hypospadias, from hypo, plus, probably from spaden, eunuch, from Spanish to tear, pluck, pull, draw, an abnormality of the penis in which the urethra opens on its undersurface. See synonyms at eunuch. I did as instructed and got eunuch. 1. A castrated man, especially one of those who were employed as harem attendants or functionaries in certain Oriental courts. 2. A man whose testes have not developed. See synonyms at hermaphrodite. Following where the trail led, I finally reached hermaphrodite. 1. One having the sex organs and many of the secondary sex characteristics of both male and female. 2. Anything comprised of a combination of diverse or contradictory elements. See synonyms at monster. And that is where I stopped, and looked up to see if anyone was watching. The vast reading room thronged with silent energy, people thinking, writing. The painted ceiling bellied overhead like a sail, and down below the green desk lamps glowed, illuminating faces bent over books. I was stooping over mine, my hair falling onto the pages, covering up the definition of myself. My lime green coat was hanging open. I had an appointment with Luce later in the day, and my hair was washed, my underpants fresh. My bladder was full, and I crossed my legs, putting off a trip to the bathroom. Fear was stabbing me. I longed to be held, caressed, and that was impossible. I laid my hand on the dictionary and looked at it. Slender, leaf-shaped, it had a braided rope ring on one finger, a gift from the object. The rope was getting dirty. I looked at my pretty hand and then pulled it away and faced the word again. There it was, monster, in black and white, in a battered dictionary in a great city library. A venerable, old book. The shape and size of a headstone, with yellowing pages that bore marks of the multitudes who had consulted them before me. There were pencil scrawls and ink stains, dried blood, snack crumbs, and the leather binding itself was secured to the lectern by a chain. Here was a book that contained the collected knowledge of the past while giving evidence of present social conditions. The chain suggested that some library visitors might take it upon themselves to see that the dictionary circulated. The dictionary contained every word in the English language, but the chain knew only a few. It knew thief and steal and maybe purloined. The chain spoke of poverty and mistrust and inequality and decadence. Callie herself was holding on to this chain now. She was tugging on it, winding it around her hand so that her fingers went white as she stared down at that word, monster. Still there, it had not moved, and she wasn't reading this word on the wall of her old bathroom stall. There was graffiti in Webster's, but the synonym wasn't part of it. The synonym was official, authoritative. It was the verdict that the culture gave on a person like her. Monster, that was what she was. That was what Dr. Luce and his colleagues had been saying. It explained so much, really. It explained her mother crying in the next room. It explained the false cheer in Milton's voice. It explained why her parents had brought her to New York, so that the doctors could work in secret. It explained the photographs, too. What did people do when they came upon Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster? They tried to get a picture. For a second, Callie saw herself that way, as a lumbering, shaggy creature pausing at the edge of woods, as a humped convolvulus rearing its dragon's head from an icy lake. Her eyes were filling now, making the print swim, and she turned away and hurried out of the library. But the synonym pursued her all the way out the door and down the steps between the stone lions. Webster's dictionary kept calling after her, "Monster! Monster!" The bright banners hanging from the tympanum proclaimed the word. The definition inserted itself into billboards and the ads on passing buses. On Fifth Avenue, a cab was pulling up. Her father jumped out, smiling and waving. When Callie saw him, her heart lifted. The voice of Webster stopped speaking in her head. Her father wouldn't be smiling like that unless the news from the doctor had been good.